When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Celtic Stuff Live.
Welcome to Celtic Stuff Live on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for the Boston Celtics, who may or may not be wrapping up Summer League as John and I record this because we're catching it before the Sunday night game. A couple of waiver wire updates. They look to release, or they have released, Kadeem Allen, last year's second round pick. Jabari Bird getting a lot of attention, seems to be able to stick around for this coming year. And John, they're going to rest a couple of players for the Sunday night game. So you have to think, with Bird and Ogilvy on the bench, the Celtics have learned pretty much everything that they anticipated learning or needed to learn from the Summer League this year, including the fact that Robert Williams isn't going to give us any court time.
I know that's the biggest disappointment, right? I mean, I think that's, we've all been looking forward to, you know, from the moment that he got picked, is really seeing that athleticism and what can he do when he has a little bit more of a focal point of what the Celtics are trying to do out there. But obviously things got in the way. You bump a knee 5 minutes into your summer league and that's it. Basically shut it down. It's all over. So that's, you know, there's a chance if they win that they could keep going, but seems to me pretty likely he's done. And Ogilvy, you know, he's done fine. He's been good. I think there's been some bright spots for him, bright spots for Abicelli. I think Jabari Bird has probably been the unquestioned MVP of the team thus far, and hopefully they're going to find a way to get him on the roster full-time here for this upcoming season.
Well, he's got the length, and he's got decent size. He's definitely had a high motor, as we saw down the stretch last year as the injuries mounted, and they needed to get time from other players to give some of the, and I'll call them vets, but it included some of the young players like Brown and Tatum who needed some rest, right? So, but he did perform well. There were some backdoor cuts that I haven't seen since the days of Avery Bradley and Rajon Rondo, which was nice to see from him. I'm a big fan of the backdoor moves there, but, you know, the Robert Williams, 6 minutes of play, I'm pretty sure at this point we've seen everything we need to see. He's going to the Hall of Fame, right?
Not quite, right? Maybe a little early.
That's how it goes possibly. In Summer League. That's how it goes in Summer League, though, right?
Dude.
Even if we'd seen him three games, if he dominated three games, people would be like, oh, man, what a special prize. He's going to the Hall of Fame. It's the way this time of year.
But the thing with him, though, which is funny, is that I think we've gone so far in the other direction. I mean, I saw this thing that I think was Bleacher Report put out on Twitter the other day, and it said, you know, missed his flight, missed his other flight, you know, lost his wallet, like, listed twice. It's like, dude, like, what are we really talking about here? Why do we even care he lost his wallet? You know, I don't understand that. I mean, you missed it the conference call, okay, you know, whatever. You could understand that. And this is the flight thing to miss practice. That's a big deal. I'm not minimizing that, but it's like, come on. What are we really talking about? If the kid played and he did well, we wouldn't be talking about this at all. So it's early.
The health is
the bigger issue.
Yep. You know, I mean, it's a weird story. The whole losing the wallet, leaving it at his buddy's place. His buddy goes back to Texas. Like, the whole thing is just weird. It doesn't really matter. They said he had a good work ethic when he showed up. He definitely has been getting in jump shots, even though they haven't put him in a game. The Celtics have been traditionally conservative with Summer League, which is why I'm not surprised that they're resting two of their main Summer League players in Sunday night's game. The thing is, it's win or go home. So even though they haven't lost a game, if this is the one they lose because two of their premier Summer League players are out, they're done. And again, I think that says everything about it. The other, I would say, article and we can get into a little bit of the Keith Smith piece that was posted on Celtics blog, which pretty much gives you a full rundown. There's going to be a part two, but part one pretty much tells you everything you needed to know about Summer League without watching the games. But Yabusele and talking about how the trip over to China that first year really did no favors for his career. The defensive sort of bad habits, positioning on rebounding, etc. Sounds like there was a setback for sending him over there. And that's unfortunate because that pick was, I believe, at 16. Is that right, John? Yeah. And the whole point with him and Zizic was, hey, let's let him play overseas, get some more experience. Then we'll bring him into the fold and it could be, you know, a real payday once this roster gets thin. We did have Yabusele available on the roster. Obviously, Zizic traded in the offseason in the deal for Kyrie Irving, but Yabusele did not impress last year, and it's pretty clear now why and what the Celtics' concerns were during the regular season that full year abroad did not help him at all. Very unfortunate.
Well, and it's also funny because remember there was at some point some conversation that they were going to try to stash him a second year in a row. Obviously, that would have been a real big mistake, certainly if they hadn't moved him out of China. But, you know, I think that now they have an opportunity. They've had him in the system for one full year. They're going to have to make some decisions. And there's been some talk about, well, you know, maybe they will decline his option next year. $3 million, if he's able to get this going this coming year, start to figure it out. And I think we've seen in Summer League some signs of that, particularly he's making a lot of those backdoor cuts. The passing of the backdoor cuts. So I think we need to maybe just slow down on the Yabusele thing. Defensively, yeah, he's got issues, but you know, look, let's see what he can do there. I think it's better. He's getting better. He didn't get to play Summer League last season. And so I think this is going to be another year for him to learn and improve. And, you know, he's not going to be asked to do a lot. He's just going to have to practice and probably come up to Maine a lot and show a lot of growth on the defensive end there. I'm not worried as much about Yabusele. I think he's, at this point, he's a low cost. And if it doesn't work out a year from now, well, then, you know, then you decline the fourth year option and you kind of, you know, move on from it.
Well, nobody hits on every draft pick, even in the first round. But exactly. To your point, they're going to have to work to undo some of this. And so if anybody's walking away unimpressed, I think you kind of treat last year as his rookie year again. And to your point, let's see what happens this coming season. Let's also see what happens to the roster. A lot of times these guys are around to just round out the roster when things get thin. And we really don't know what's going to happen. We've got Marcus Smart, who's still kind of out there. Terry Rozier is going to be in the same boat next offseason. So some things could change. I realize they don't play the same position, but the Celtics are typically thin on that front line as well. So if they get thinner in the backcourt, you might see them make moves to bolster the backcourt and hold on to a guy like Yabusele just so that they don't stay thin in the front court. Now, speaking of that, you look at the Kadeem Allen release. They're clearly making room for another player, and I'm not sure this is included in Keith's article on Celtics blog, but I believe it was he who tweeted out the fact that there were a lot of NBA teams that were very interested in signing Hassan Martin to that two-way contracts that we now have between the parent club and the G League. Now that we've seen the release of Kadeem Allen, you have to think they're making way to bring Hassan Martin in that two-way deal.
Yeah, I think so. It seems like that's, you know, things are kind of opening up for that. You know, Perry Henry, the point guard who's been starting a lot for this Summer League team, sounds like he's going to head to Europe. He's got a good offer there. I was kind of hoping that they might look for him for that spot, the Kadeem Allen spot. But hey, you know, I think in terms of the roster and the balance of the roster, probably makes more sense to have another big there, to fill that spot. You know, and of course we still don't know what's going to happen with Jabari Bird. You know, that he hasn't received an offer. He's a restricted free agent. I think they want to keep him. It sounds from Keith Smith's article. I mean, he's just kind of on an upward climb, you know, and so if that's the case, you got to feel like that they want to not just you have him as a two-way player, but really have him on the roster full time. If he wasn't a two-way player, they would have been able to use him during the playoffs. So, you know, I think that they'd like to maybe make that move. Certainly Nader would be in a great deal of danger in that case. But that's also assuming Marcus Smart returns. So there's still, you know, a couple of moving pieces here when you're looking at the, you know, 13th, 14th, 15th, you know, and 17th pieces on the roster. But to me, you know,
there's still some space too. Depending on what happens with Marcus Smart, there's still some roster flexibility financially. And, I guess they don't call it, do they still call it the mid-level exception? I don't know. There's so many exceptions now. I'm getting spun out, but.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. There's the mid-level. There's the taxpayer mid-level. There's.
That's what it is. I wondered if it's the mid-level or if it's the taxpayer mid-level that's still available to the team. But I feel like they had, what, like $8 million left in space to be able to make a move, and then it kind of depended on how they wanted to spend that on Marcus Smart potentially. Something along those lines.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. He takes the qualifying offer. They could probably keep it all in under the tax. If he doesn't, then, you know, we'll see. Danny has said they expect to be a tax-paying team this season. So I don't know if that means that they expect that they'll sign an extension with Marcus that would then put them well over that $8 million, $7 million threshold, or that plus whatever they're going to use to sign, you know, Hassan Martin or whomever. But it seems like the expectation is they're going to be at that taxpayer level, which is unfortunate because it's not by a lot. And, you know, given the fact that this is a team that will likely be paying some big luxury tax, repeater tax costs, in the not too distant future, it would be nice to have one more year that could push that number out.
All right. You can follow Celtic Stuff Live on Twitter at @CSL_TweetLive, as well as your host. Follow me at @CSL_Justin. John is at @CSL_Duke. The entire CLNS Media Network at CLNS Media. Facebook.com/CLNS fans. Download the CLNS Media app for iOS and Android. Simply search CLNS Media in your app marketplace, and the YouTube channel. Lots of great videos, including ours here at Celtic Stuff Live. Snippets of our audio for the entire podcast are up on the YouTube channel. You definitely want to be staying tuned, because in the next couple of weeks, John's son is going to make his first appearance with some signature series sneakers. I guess that's the best way I'm going to promote that highly. Sneakers from Marcus Smart. So there's other high-definition, full-length locker room interviews, the Garden Report when the season gets underway. But just make sure you're keeping an eye on that YouTube channel. You'll definitely be seeing video of the sneakers that John, you secured from our guy Marcus Smart, who hasn't secured a contract. You just talked about it. I'm going to go back to the Keith Smith article. I mean, just again, this is the key article this week, and I know we don't reference it very much, but I love this one. He said, everyone you talk to with the team in Vegas wants Marcus Smart back. No one overlooks how important he is to the Celtics in winning. And one team staffer said, we're all trying to beat the Warriors. To do that, we need Marcus Smart. And I think at the end of the day, what we're looking at is the cap room dried up quickly. The Celtics probably anticipated that in the front office. And they said, listen, it's nothing to Marcus Smart, not trying to take anything away from him. But we can go through this again next year, and we can decide whether we're the team that's going to pay him the most or not. Now, I know he won't be restricted, so they don't have the match. They'll have to just do negotiations. But at the end of the day, what they can do is bring him back what's looking like possibly on the qualifying offer. And like we just said, leave all that room open to maybe add another piece to the puzzle. I mean, I know there's not a player of DeMarcus Cousins' ilk out there, but, you know, this would have worked out very much in their favor if they had been able to sign DeMarcus to the same figure that the Golden State Warriors did. They'd still have been able to retain Marcus if he didn't wind up getting a big contract to match. And even if then, I think there was still room, they just would have been paying a higher tax penalty.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, it would have been possible for them to pull that off. You know, Marcus, as you said, this is a situation I think a lot of us saw coming. And you hate to see it, because I think Marcus deserves
not this low, though. You and I talked about this over a year ago, 18 months ago, and said, and I remember saying, he's not going to get more than $12 million. And I got a lot of flack on that on Twitter. And I was like, no, I'm just telling you, I don't think he's worth more than 12 to 14. And the Kelly Olynyk deal came up as a counterpoint, and et cetera. And I said, yeah, but this whole tax cap and everything, this is like a moment in time. It's got to come back down to earth, you know, just like the housing market did in a crash in 2008. Like that's what happens when these things blow up like that. And so, I didn't think more than 12 to 14, but I certainly didn't think we'd end up getting him for the qualifying offer. Did you?
Well, we knew money was going to be tight, and I think we saw this really in particular looking at the deadline. When you saw Lou Williams re-sign for $8 million, you know, the guy's an all-star, you know, and, you know, really, it's not like he's playing for the Warriors and taking a cut rate like DeMarcus Cousins is, and he took an $8 million contract over 3 years. I mean, 3 for 24. When you saw that happen, that really made me open my eyes saying, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, not just are we talking about 10, 12 million, you know, maybe, you know, something in the neighborhood of like an Andre Roberson deal for Marcus Smart. But then you're starting to think, whoa, maybe the qualifying offer is, you know, or something at the mid-level is not really out that far out of the realm of possibility. When we saw that signing, and you saw what happened to the trade market. Really, everything was quiet. Nobody wanted to take on any money. I think it really kind of opened everyone's eyes to say, okay, well, this is not good for Marcus. And I see that's why I think that's when the agent should have said, well, look, okay, let's recalibrate here. You know, and looking at what's happening, even a guy like Jabari Parker, okay, 2 years, $40 million, second year is team option. He's only got a 1 year, $20 million contract. This is the guy who was the number two
pick
in the draft.
Which is still a pretty good deal considering his circumstances, but to your point, it's short money, and any team that's got a little bit to play with might as well gamble on said scenario. And the Chicago Bulls, in the state that they're in, they're a perfect match for that scenario.
They are. No, that's true. And I think the Celtics aren't that bad, really. Would have been a reasonable option for Boogie as well. But, you know, look, you start with the number one team, you go down if you're Boogie. I'm not sure what sort of impact he's going to have. But in terms of the market there, I mean, you know, I think there's a Boogie market and then there's a market for everybody else. And unfortunately for Marcus Smart, he's getting caught in the fact that there's no money left, you know, and I think that he has put himself in a really bad situation. I think his agents put him in a worse situation. And now he's just, you know, this thing is going to go through August, I bet, before he signs the offer. I mean, I think.
Why not? The same way the Celtics were willing to ride out the negotiating period, why wouldn't Marcus? You know, at the end of the day, he's got to play next year to be able to have a contract the following year. He can't just sit it out. But if it's got to be the qualifying offer, then it's got to be the qualifying offer. But literally until he is 100% certain that he can't get more than the qualifying offer from anybody else, he might as well stay in the negotiating game. At the very least, the agent says, look, I know you guys have interest in Marcus. Maybe you've got – there aren't a lot of teams with any money left. I'm trying to think of who does have the most substantial –
Kings.
Yes,
the Kings are it.
So that conversation doesn't seem to die, but maybe the Kings say, all right, you know, have you guys figured out what the Celtics are willing to match? Or maybe they just take a flyer. Maybe they round out their roster and they say, all right, Marcus, we got $12 million left for you. We'll pay you $12 million. We're likely to see the Celtics match that, but you know what? In case they don't want to, or maybe the Celtics get their hand gets forced, you know, on making a move and then they're, you know, maybe they make a trade, for goodness sakes. Who knows what the Celtics will do? Then all of a sudden, the circumstances change. So the only thing, nothing's going to hurt him. He can't get lower than the qualifying offer, so he might as well wait as long as he possibly can to see if circumstances dictate a higher contract under some scenario that hasn't played out yet.
No, that's true. That's very true. I mean, and with the Kings, speaking about scenarios that you don't know they'll ever – that haven't played out yet. I mean, can you figure out what the Kings are going to do? that's just bananas right there. I mean, what the hell? What's Vlade Divac going to do? You know, I mean, that's flip a coin, man. You know,
do you think Marcus really wants to play there? I mean, I know he wants his payday, but do you really think he wants to play there? How frustrating would it be for him? Even if he got Jabari Parker money out of some crazy Evan Turner, swindling, and he got $20 million and then he got it for, let's say, over 4 years, you know, do you think he wants to be in Sacramento for that amount of time? And he's going to be virtually untradeable on that contract number as well. So it's not like he'll be able to force his way out, even if he winds up, you know, finding his way to the All-Star game.
Exactly. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it just seems out of character for him to have wanted that. I think he's got, certainly they're doing everything they can to get him the most money possible. But I think the reality has come, hit home a while ago that he was going to end up back here because of the fact that the Celtics were going to match. They're going to match at any reasonable offer, and anything unreasonable, you know, I suppose it's within the realm of possibility, but it doesn't seem like Marcus Smart's the type of player that teams would want to do that with. You know, he doesn't have that ceiling that people think, boy, if he just does this, then he's a 20-point scorer. And, you know, I think that's just not the type of player that he, you know, really, projects to be. And so no one is saying, well, I'll throw $20 million at him to spring him free from Boston. You can have that conversation with Jabari Parker. You can't with Marcus Smart.
All right, if you wear contacts, then you know how annoying it is to have to get a prescription year after year just to be able to buy more contacts. Simple Contacts is changing all of that by using technology to make renewing your prescription and buying contacts super, well, simple. And here's how it works. Using your phone or computer, you can take the Simple Contacts vision test in just 5 minutes, literally anywhere, and then a real doctor will review the test in 24 hours and write you a new prescription. Boom, a fresh supply of brand new lenses on the way to your door. No more appointments, no more waiting rooms, no more overpaying. Simple Contacts brings the doctor's office to wherever you are, whenever you need it. This has been really helpful for me. I wear daily, so I constantly have to renew my prescription every couple of months, and I'm able to do that online just with Simple Contacts, and I travel a lot, so it's not like I can go back every year and go see my doctor. Oftentimes, I've wound up canceling my appointment, then I'm out of contacts. It's really frustrating. This is the solution for me. I'm sure it'll work for you. Simple Contacts offers every brand of lenses. Their prices are unbeatable. The prescription is only $20, and the contacts lens prices are super competitive. Shipping is free, and best of all, our listeners get $30 off of their first Simple Contacts order. So to save $30 on your lenses, just go to simplecontacts.com/CSL18 or enter the code CSL18 at checkout. I do have to mention, though, that this isn't a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. You still need those occasionally, but it is the most convenient way to renew a prescription and reorder your contacts if your vision hasn't changed. Again, check out Simple Contacts. Get $30 off by going to simplecontacts.com/CSL18 or just enter the code CSL18 at the checkout. Give it a try and thank me later. And John, I know we want to talk a little bit more of the, I want to say, rumors and buzz coming out of Summer League, including the hype around Kyrie, and we're going to get to that in just a minute. But I did want to throw a couple of other nuggets here from Keith Smith's article on Celtics blog. The big one, they expect Gordon Hayward to be 100% for training camp, but they're obviously going to take it slow with all of the vets. Another thing they talked about was making sure that plenty of rest during the season, but there is a concern about playing time for other players or the players that are used to getting their shots, etc. So keep that in mind for the Kyrie conversation. They also said, thankfully, Al Horford and Aaron Baines aren't really concerned so much about shooting or getting their shots, so to speak. I am a little bit with Al. Definitely want to see him being a threat from beyond the arc and spreading out that defense, but lots of other things. They said Semi Ojeleye in over his head, and some stuff, some good nuggets on Jabari Bird, and obviously the one on Yabusele that we talked about. But let's really just dive right in to the Kyrie Irving coming back next season. couple of things I'll use to tip it off with Keith Smith's article, basically saying ignore that noise about Kyrie not liking it in Boston and being jealous of the attention the kids get. This particular team and the chemistry, they're closer than any team I can remember. Another one that they're hoping he'll come back, Kyrie, I mean. But a year is a very long time in the NBA. Lots can change. And really basically explaining why somebody wouldn't do an extension today, which is it costs them money. So on that noise, a lot of people not very comfortable with Kyrie or thinking he'll come back, putting a lot of credence into the buzz that he'll go to the New York Knicks because of some weird offhanded rumor out of Cleveland from some time ago. And yet it still gets legs. Lots of buzz on this. And my thought is, at the end of the day, when this contract runs out, the Celtics could give him the most amount of money in an extra year. And for a guy that's struggled through knee injuries, if the Celtics want him, he's got to take that money. And I think that's going to be his decision. I'd say I'm 90% certain he comes back, provided the Celtics don't trade him and still want him, which I think they will. I don't see why they wouldn't. But I'm just saying, I think it would have to change on the Celtics side for him not to stay.
I think that you look at right now, as things stand right now, it's hard to see that there are other scenarios out there that would be better for Kyrie than what would be that's presently available. The comment that, you know, Keith Smith came up with, you know, they said a year is a very long time in the NBA. I mean, I think a year ago we had some sense that LeBron might go to LA. But, you know, probably 2 months before that, it might have seemed completely crazy. So there's a lot of these things that things move very fast. You know, the Houston Chris Paul thing was, you know, happened in an instant. And I think there's some tea leaves right now. People are reading with Kevin Durant and the potential that he may want to get out of Golden State and not being happy there and wanting to look for something else. We certainly know that Durant and Kyrie have been close, and you know there's a very real line you can draw there between what Kevin Durant wants to do and wanting Kyrie to come along with him. But having said all that, there's a lot of things that have to go just so for those situations to break in that favor. You could look at where we were a year ago and think, well, Chris Paul and LeBron, they'll get together and they'll go to LA together, or, you know, Paul George. There's a lot of things that could happen, but the most likely thing is for probably people to stay right where they are. And you look at where Kyrie's going to be. He's going to go to the finals. I think we all hope that, but I think there's a very good chance of that. The kids around him are just going to get better. And, you know, there's going to be opportunity for Gordon Hayward to improve. He's going to be able to rest and be strongest when he's needed most in the playoffs. I mean, it's all lines up perfectly for him. There's no better scenario right now other than doing just that. If he wants to be a mercenary, go to New York, you know, have Kevin Durant come with him and try to make that work. That is an option on the table for him. But I'm not sure. Kyrie's a different guy. I think we all know that, but that just doesn't seem to be as much of a sure thing as, you know, perhaps taking an NBA finalist or Eastern Conference finalist and continuing that with the natural development within of a guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. It just seems like more of a sure thing for Kyrie's career going forward.
Yeah. Not only does it seem like more of a sure thing, but it's the best bet for him to have the wins and the winning experience. I get what you're saying too, but the contract money's there, et cetera. Here's the only thing I wonder about. And I don't think he said enough times that money isn't everything, but if he did go to New York, whatever that difference is from what the Celtics can pay over 5 years versus what New York can pay at a max deal over 4 years, maybe the shoes end up covering all of that money, right? Just the advertising, the sponsorship dollars. It's not the only consideration here. But the downside is that gamble means you might go play for a franchise and only be barely competitive. And that's yes, I'm sure he'll still sell shoes, but man, he's selling shoes being in Boston. That guy is a shoe selling machine anyway. So I'm not sure the major market matters. And maybe, you know, I have no idea, but I can't imagine that at the pace that he's on, I mean, he's just in the stratosphere with shoe sales. I can't imagine that he needs to go to New York to actually raise the income from that scenario. I think the best thing for him is to be on the stage playing against the Warriors. And if they actually, and this is the guarantee, they beat the Warriors next year, he's not going anywhere. Because that brand and his beating the Warriors, the unstoppable, undefeatable, crazy awesome team that, you know, we thought Houston might give them a run this year, and it's unfortunate they didn't, but they're not going to be in any better position next year, in my opinion. So with that, you know, being said, now this is his best chance. If they were to punch the bully in the mouth, to quote KG, if they were to punch the bully in the mouth, he's definitely not going anywhere. But if they even feels like there's a good shot at getting him the next year, then it would just be silly not to come back. Because playing the most games possible on the biggest stage just helps you continue to sell shoes.
Absolutely. And, you know, remember, when he signed his deal, he was in Cleveland. So you want to – I mean, yes, he was on the stage, but – if there's any cachet that's added, going to Boston certainly helps a great deal. Being the, you know, signature player in that regard helps an even greater amount. I mean, he's on an $8 million a year deal with Nike, the same amount that Giannis is making. I can tell you, as the dad of and a coach of a whole bunch of 11, 12-year-old boys, basketball players, the Kyrie is the shoe that they're wearing. They're not wearing LeBrons. They're not wearing, you know, a couple kids wearing LeBrons, but most kids are wearing, they're looking the Kyries because they look the best. They're easy to put on and they fit the styles these kids are wearing now. And so if I'm Nike, would I feel like I'm going to sell some more shoes if I'm in, New York? Maybe, you know, it seems to me you're a megawatt star no matter what you do. Maybe in the New York market, you have more influence, but in the NBA and the global game that it is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you are. You're in Cleveland, you're in Oklahoma City, you know, Durant signed his deal with Nike when he was at Thunder. I mean, you know, you know what's the cachet of the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Boston Celtics, right? Give me a break. So I'm more concerned with the guys talking. I think the money, I think you're right. The money is negligible. I think it's, you know, hey, come play with me. Hey, you know, the stuff with,
Jimmy Butler. Do you think there's any legitimacy to the Jimmy Butler thing?
I think there is, but I don't think one, the Celtics would want to get Jimmy Butler, given what they have now. And two, I don't think Jimmy Butler is enough to steal Kyrie Irving to go somewhere else. Kevin Durant, that's a different story. That's the one that worries me. And then I'm on your side of hating Kevin Durant.
Oh, is that all it'll take?
No, that'll take it.
Fantasizing about this. That would be the ultimate burn, right? We get Al Horford. We're all excited. Tom Brady's wearing really weird white pants, gets on a plane, goes and meets with Durant as part of the Celtics contingency. They lose out. The next year, we trade for Kyrie. We sign Gordon Hayward. We're building our super team. And then Kevin Durant winds up single-handedly unraveling our plans. At that point, I'm hoping we're keeping Terry Rozier, and that scary Terry gets super scary.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, that's the plan B, right? Is that you get Terry Rozier and you get, you know, hopefully at that point, Smart's unrestricted and you sign both and, you know, you go from there. I mean, there is a plan B. It's not nearly as good. I don't see that happening. Like you said, I'm in the 90-10 camp. I think there's 90% chance that Kyrie's coming back. Will he look at it? Will he be intrigued? We all know he questions everything, so he's not going to follow the color by number approach. He's going to do whatever the hell he wants to do. But I think he's going to look at the situation he has with the coach, the players he's playing with, and he's going to value that over an unknown in New York or somewhere else with, you know, possibly Durant. I don't see any other scenario other than Durant, New York, that could possibly take Kyrie away. And even then, you've got James Dolan, who's the owner there. You've got a coach that, you know, Fizdale, we'll see. He didn't, you know, there wasn't enough there for him to stick in Memphis, and they fired him. So Memphis is its own issue, but New York isn't exactly any great shakes either. So I'm feeling very good about the Celtics scenarios in keeping Kyrie Irving here. And I think
we need a dominant team in the East. We need a dominant yes. team in the East, especially with LeBron going over to LA. That's a nightmare for the East. If they were to water the talent down in the East, you know, again, it might be somewhat interesting in the postseason, but it's definitely not going to be interesting in the finals, right? And that's the biggest concern here in my mind, is that if the Western Conference Finals continues to be considered the finals, that's a problem. That's a problem for basketball. Now, do you think the East is really as weak as it appears with the Celtics way up at top? I know we've talked about the Raptors, et cetera. And if they pulled, you know, Kyrie out, and then there was that team, that budding team in New York, that would be a great team, and there would be two really good teams in the East that way, plus whatever Milwaukee's doing, plus whatever, you know, the Raptors continue to do, although their window gets shorter and shorter, and some other teams that are building, but you get my point. The strength at the top of the Western Conference is unprecedented. It seemed like it was balancing out a little bit during the KG era with LeBron in Miami, and it's really gone the other way entirely once again, and I think that's a big problem for basketball. And I think they need Kyrie in Boston for that reason.
Yeah, and I don't think that moving Kyrie to New York with Durant is enough to create the super team that battles the Warriors. You know, I don't think that that's – I don't think – I just don't see that scenario fully formed. Even if you say Jimmy Butler's there, you said Jimmy Butler, Durant, and you know, Kyrie. I just don't – the Knicks are a dumpster fire. They've always been a dumpster fire. My whole time watching basketball, even when they're supposedly good, they were disgusting, an awful team. The time that, you know, when they made the finals and lost to the Spurs, I mean, that was an awful team. It was a complete joke because of the lockout. The time they lost in seven games to the Rockets, that Knicks team sucked. I hated them. You know, I mean, just, I'm so over the New York Knicks. And so yeah, there's no way. You need to keep Boston strong and you know, Philly will come up. I think, you know, Milwaukee's going to be better with Coach Bud.
Yeah, definitely
there.
Shouldn't have left Philly out of that conversation because we don't even know. They might even end up with Kawhi, but it's looking less and less likely, but they still could. They've got a ton of young talent. And so certainly that team is on the rise. Are they going to compete with the Warriors in the next year or two? No, they're definitely not. They just need more experience. But will they be a competitor in the Eastern Conference and, you know, top four? I think pretty easily they're going to be top four for the next, several years.
Yeah. I think so. I think you're right. And I think, you know, to your earlier point, you know, your earlier question of like, well, what does this mean, East versus West? I think it's a lot closer than people want to say. I mean, yes, Warriors are number one. I think we all understand that. I think the Celtics are ahead of the Rockets. I think they will be. I think it's 1-2-3.
Two competitive matchups last season, certainly.
Absolutely.
And Chris Paul might have just handcuffed that franchise from being able to get better. I mean, what else are you going to do? You really didn't have a choice, but it might only give you a 1-2 year with a major, major anchor after that.
Yeah, and go out and, you know, not re-sign Ariza and Mbamute, and we're going to get the corpse of Carmelo Anthony. I don't think that's going to do it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's a rejuvenation machine
to
hook
him
up to.
Well, let's be honest. Even the Chris Paul and the Harden thing was an experiment. It's one that worked out beautifully, but it was an experiment. Harden loves to have the ball in his hands, and so does Chris Paul. So the fact that meshed, but then you're going to add Carmelo Anthony, to your point, that's a recipe for a backfiring disaster.
It's not going to work. I think you're going to see the Rockets. They're going to be on the down slope here. Celtics obviously in the up. I think you look at a lot of those teams in the East, you know, I think the Raptors could be interesting, especially if they're the ones that make the deal for Kawhi. You know, the Sixers. I mean, if you just look at the West, for a second, outside of the Rockets and the Warriors, who's next? Are we talking about OKC?
Yeah, I think we're still going to go OKC. But now we're balancing out a little bit. But OKC was still better than the Raptors, right? And the Raptors were right at the top of the conference.
I don't know. I don't know if they are, to be honest with you. I mean, the Raptors flamed out against LeBron, and we've just – that's a psychological thing. Maybe that's the break they needed. But I don't know. They're deeper. They're a much deeper team than OKC. you know, I think the Pelicans are worse. I think the Spurs are going to be worse. The Jazz might be a little better. Certainly Donovan Mitchell is going to be that much better in year two. I think, the Milwaukee's going to be better. The Pacers are going to be better. I think there's a lot more parity. I think the top four teams in the East, the top, four or five teams in the West aren't as far off as everyone would think. I think you'd have equal numbers in a top 10, let's say, in the NBA. I think it's beyond that. It's when you go to, that kind of middle of the conference, that like 6 through 12 is where the West is just better. You know, you're going to take the Pelicans, you're going to take the Spurs, you're going to take, fill in the blank team, over, the kind of also rans in the East. You know, there's just, Cleveland, put Cleveland in that mix, Miami, there's just that kind of flotsam jetsam.
Don't you think Utah is a top two team in the Eastern Conference? I know they suffered the loss of Hayward, but boy, did they rebound well. We only had a couple of minutes, but that whole depth, I'm not sure it goes so far down as six. I feel like maybe you say, 4 to 8, you know what I mean? Just the bottom of the playoff pack. I would even move it up a little bit that it's that much stronger, because really in the Eastern Conference, it's the top four teams, maybe the top three. And after that, there's always been a precipitous drop off where the top 6 to 7 teams oftentimes in the Western Conference are fighting. If you want to say upper echelon, I still think that the Celtics can compete for a championship next year with this talent. I mean, I think they're being completely underrated, but put that aside, the next team really doesn't have a shot at the finals. And you could legitimately say that at the very minimum, Houston and the Warriors obviously have a shot at beating the Celtics in the finals, and you might even give them odds on favorites, right? Just based on the way people are viewing it. But I think Utah could give the Celtics for a run. I mean, I think that team's pretty good. I think the only issue, they're just lacking enough of that veteran presence to really make it happen and execute it. But they're at least on the bubble more than Toronto is, in my opinion, more than Philly is, in my opinion.
I'm not as much of a believer in Utah, and maybe it's because the playoff, they haven't had the playoff experience. Maybe it's because that when the Celtics play Utah, they do pretty well, because Horford is the perfect antidote to what Gobert does. I don't know. Look, they're good. I'm not saying they're not good. I think they're a solid, fourth, fifth, seed in the West. They're better than
I think they could be four next year, but they're not better. They'll never get through the Warriors or Houston. So part of that is, I'm just saying, transplant them into the East and tell me, do you think they can compete for the number one seed?
I think there's a gap between Boston and the next team. So I guess they would be in that mix.
Number two, right?
Yeah, they would be in that mix, I think, with Philly and with Toronto. I think they'd end up fourth, though. I mean, if you put Utah with Boston, Philly, Toronto.
Milwaukee.
I think they'd end up fourth out of those groups. I think they're better than Indiana. I think they're better than Milwaukee. But, I don't think there's that much gap. So when they say the West, I think that there's just as good a chance someone from the East wins the finals, but I think that it's closer than what people want to suggest. I just don't think, we don't do this 1 through 16 thing. I think that's crazy. Let's just keep it right the way it is.
No, it only matters. It only matters who's going to the postseason. That's right. And then who has a legitimate shot at winning the championship. And that's why I say it's that middle ground. How hard is the path to the finals, et cetera.
Totally.
But that's going to do it for this week's show. We're going to be back either next week or the week after. We're going to be showing off some Marcus Smart shoes. So definitely stay tuning in after Summer League is over as we cruise through the off season. There's going to be lots of this sort of talk and a lot of things that haven't been settled. Typically, we see this kind of all get wrapped up with a bow by the end of July. And then if you even think back to 2007, that summer, KG and the trade was a total surprise July 31st. That's only 2 weeks from now. And yet at the same time, there's still a lot of open-ended stories here that have to play out. So we're keeping an eye on all of that and keeping you posted on all the Celtics, all things Celtics in your off-season. So the broadcast will be available on demand on the CLNS Media mobile app. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Twitter, at @CSL_Justin and at @CSL_Duke. A heartfelt thank you to everybody for tuning in. Remember that you can support the show by subscribing to Celtic Stuff Live on iTunes and Stitcher. We'd love it if you gave us a rating and a review because your feedback is important to the show. For staff writer Samuel Elias, executive producer Larry H. Russell, the founder of CLNS Media, Nick Gelso, and my co-host John Duke, I'm Justin Poole, and thank you for listening to this week's edition of Celtic Stuff Live.
Celtic Stuff Live.